And we are at Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm Sadi Beis Amud Beis. The Limud Mahayim through Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Erev Rosh Hashanah is sponsored by Mendy and Ita Klein and their children. Luzeicha Nishmas, their relatives, and that had Menifter, and Lekavod Hareyem Tikneyem, that should live L'yamim Tayvim Baruchim. I'm not going to leave you the whole list. May the learning be a chutz for the neshamas, and a chutz for those for who are well, are alive to have yamim tayvim varuchim. Okay, we are now in the Gemara about the fact that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines in the bottom. It says that kivin shehech yoisim when mecheska with mechaya the mesim bo atzamas v'tavkulay le'oisir rasha uponov. The bones came, and they hit Amnubchanetzer on his face. Amar Matibin Shalelu, what is going on with Chananya Mishol Vazariah, or with these bones? Amar Loi Chavareim Shalelu Mechayim Meisim B'Kizdura, the friend of these people that you threw into the... How does Artsko translate Matibin Shalelu? Can somebody help me out of here? How does Artsko translate Matibin Shalelu? Is it going on Chananya Mishael of Azariah, or is it going on these bones? Matzivan Shalelu, what is that? The bones. Okay. Amrlo Chavareim Shalelu Mechayim Meisim B'Bikas Dura. The friend of Chananya Mishael of Azariah is being Mechayim Meisim B'Bikas Dura. Pasach V'Amar. So he said the following praise to Hashem. He said, Asayhu Kama Ravavin. His signs, how great they are, the simhayi kamas akifen, and his wonders, how strong they are. Malchusa malchus alam, his kingdom is forever. Vishaltani imdar vidar, and his rulership is for all generations. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, yutzak zohav reseach l'tayif pev shalaisa rasha. Golden, melted gold should be poured down the mouth of that rasha. Rashi says the Gemara said it belongs in the key of big gold. But basically, he deserves to have molten metal of some sort poured down his mouth. If not of the fact that a malach came and slapped him on his mouth, Rashi learned his shvach, his praise to Hashem, would have made David Hamelach's shvach seem less. Leganos means to make it look bad. His shvach would have been greater than David HaMelech's praise. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore the Malach came and hit him on his mouth. And he really deserves to have molten metal poured down his mouth. Rashi. The Rashi Pasuk Bamala Kodesh Baruch Hu Asayin Kam Ravavin Pasuk Yutzin Pasuk Yutzin Zohar Vaseach from the Kamaisi Bishmairi Bishvachot of the Chanetzer. Since we're saying good about Nebuchadnezzar, we say it nicely. The Lashon Klola means he should be cursed. Satrai, he called Machar Yada, hit him in the back of his hand. Leganois, Shay Mesadish Shvachas Noz Yaisim of David. He was putting nicer praise on than David HaMelech. Vilu Amran HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vilu Amran, had he really been able to finish it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaitak Ram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have turned behind them. Yaisim Achar Ashira Shas of David. No Lach Rainim are bothered. If Nebuchadnezzar is praising the Rabbeinu Shlomo, why is the Malach hitting him on the face? And it makes it sound, here he is trying to do something good, the Malach not allowing him to do something good. And we're cursing him for wanting to do something good. So, there's many Pshatim said, the one that sticks in my mind that I heard years ago, that the one that, you know, when I read the Gemara, I see this Pshat, is the Pshat they quote from the Kutzke Rebbe. And that is, it's not a great thing to praise Hashem when things are going well. What's great is to be able to say praise to Hashem when things aren't going well. The Nebuchadnezzar is at the top of his game. He's king, he's ruling, and he sees a miracle and he praises Hashem. David HaMelech said to him when he was running away, when he was being chased, when he was being persecuted. So even though the words of the Nebuchadnezzar sound so glorious and he's praising Hashem, but in comparison to David HaMelech, it's not really a comparison. David HaMelech lived his life and praised Hashem. and Nebuchadnezzar didn't live the life he's supposed to, and he praised Hashem once. So the Malach comes and smacks him on the face, and meaning to say, big deal that you're praising Hashem now. When the things aren't going as well, what do you do? And that's not why he should be cursed. That is, here is a person taking advantage of a situation that goes well, and he speaks his wondrous praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's all external, it's not internal. The right is, when things aren't going so well, he doesn't pay tribute to the Rabbi Nishloel. That's how the Kutzke Rebbe explains why the Malach slapped him on the face, to show that it's not real. It's just external. It's not really what he believes. It's not really the life system that he lives, the lifestyle that he lives. That's the Gemara back. Turn around, brother. You can offer whatever you want.
But maybe the pshat is that after a while, just like with Paro, he lost his Bechira. Maybe the pshat is, after a while, certain people, you just lose it all. You don't have any.
I'm going to answer that question.
Which person says that?
Nobody. Yes.
Oh, why not molten lead?
Rashi says Lush and Ikea. It's nicer when you talk about a king to say gold rather than lead. That's what Rashi says. Yes?
Gold's lead is dim. The other thing is that Nebuchadnezzar had a talk with him. Very, very, very important purpose.
Well,
we're on the shear. We're saying shear?
I was trying to call into the shear.
Well, the shear is going on. Okay? Somebody's asking a question.
Can't get into the...
Fine, you stay here. Stay right here.
Okay.
Yes.
But,
okay, again, nobody said he didn't have a tablet. Again, we're talking about why the Malach stopped him from saying more praises of Hashem. That's the issue we were discussing, yes.
If I was a good Jew, I'd remember who said it, but one of the... I saw this explained that... the way the Bashan understands, this will be the only time you hear me say it, because it's an interesting story. The Bashan understands the Pasuk Shevi Yibol Tzadik Hukum, that what makes a tzadik is falling down and rising.
I just said that right from the Dutch
script.
Right. That's the Gemara Vaitan. Panorabana, Shisha Nisim Nasim Yaitayayim. Six Nisim happened that day. Veiluhein. Tzapa Kimshan, the Kimshan, that's the furnace, floated up to the ground. It was an underground furnace. I guess to contain the heat, they built it underground. And in order that the miracle should be visible, all of a sudden, it rose above ground. The Nifrasa Kibshon, part of the walls of the Kibshon broke, so people should be able to see into the furnace. The Humak Sudai, Rashi brings two pshatim, either Humak Surai or Humak Sudai. The Gairis Surai, it means Nebuchadnezzar's haughtiness was lowered. If you learn Humak Sudai, means the plaster foundation of the furnace melted from the heat. The excessive heat, much hotter than a furnace usually is. The Nebach Tselem Alpanav, and that Tselem that he had wanted people to bow down to, turned on its face. The Nishavu Arba Malchius, the four kings and their people who had been engaged in throwing Chananya, Mishael, and Azariah into the furnace, got burned from the heat of the furnace. The Hefi Yecheskel Sameisim and Bikas Dura. And Yecheskel Ke'am was Machiah Mesim and Bikas Dura that day. The Kubu Gemara. All of them are based on a Messiah. It doesn't say in the Pasuk anywhere that the Kibshon rose and the Kibshon broke. These are all things that we have a Messiah that happened. Except Arba Malchus Kra. The fact that the four kings got burnt is hinted to in the Pasuk. The fifth. When they were throwing in Chananya, Mishael, Azariah into the fire, it says the following pasuk: Uzchanetzer Malka, Uzchanetzer the king, Shlach sent Lemichnash to gather. Now list all different kinds of officers: Nachashdar Panaya, Signaya, Pachvasa, Adagazaya, Gidavaraya, the Savaraya, Tiftaya, the Chol Shiptonim in the Nasan, all rulers of countries. Lemeisa to come. The pasuk continues. To come to the Chanukah Hatzelim, that's what he called it, the inauguration of this new Arbeit Zara that Nebuchadnezzar put up. Then, Uchsev says, Esi Gubrin Yidoi, bring those Jews who didn't want to bow down and throw them into the fire. Uchsev, at the end, it says, Umiskanshin Achashdapanaya, Signaya, Pakvasa, Vadovre Malka, these are all officers, Chazil the Gevraya Ilach, they saw these people that the fire didn't do anything to them. Now, if you notice, there are many less words for officers in the second pasuk than there were in the first pasuk, namely by four. Four less words to describe different officers, which means four sets of people were gone. And that's the four kings and their followers who were engaged in the throwing in of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they didn't survive. So the ones who saw the miracle at the end were the ones who didn't, were just watching. They got to see it. But the four who actually were engaged in throwing them into the fire, the heat of the furnace burnt them up, even though Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were in the furnace, survived. That's Rashi. It was in the ground, like we have furnaces, kilns, where they do plaster. But went above the ground, everybody should see it. Some of the walls fell down. Everybody should be able to see into it. Rashi's first gear says Surai, Vishbo Gavasai. His haughtiness was lowered. Surai Ra. His haughtiness is bad. Vishnachrino Humak Sudai. It's on his foundation, the Shtalsho, lowered down, meaning it fell apart. Chaylam Zaini Rabbin Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov ben Yakar. Rashi says, that's what I'm sorry?
The foundation of the
furnace. Chaylam Zaini Rabbi Yaakov ben Yakar. It was so hot, the foundation burned off. Have a Myri Garas for Humak Sidai. And, but my Rebbe was Garas a third Gersa, which is Humak Sidai. Sid HaKibsha Nimsa Mareiv Chamimus. The plaster of the furnace melted from the heat. Takshamati, I said, Meshechus Lameirochik, and the heat extended far. Umehevel Shaitzah said, and from the heat of that burning plaster, Nisifu Eisen Shishlichu, Hananiah Mishael Bazaria, Lataskim Shanesh. Those who threw Hananiah Mishael Bazaria ended up being burned. The Napach Tselem Shozov Abhanov, the golden tselem turned on its face. Arba Malchias Malochim Banchei, and Rashi says, well, not only the kings, but their peoples, Shesayu Luvachanetze, they helped Luvachanetze, Vahashta Hananiah Mishael Bazaria, Lataychoir. We call in Avki the Chsim. Nebuchadnezzar shalach l'michnish together l'chizan p'naya t'aginaya l'vsaif l'akash abo mina kibshon. When they came back from the kibshon k'siv l'miskanshin l'chizan p'naya t'aginaya p'chavosa v'hanak b'l'ksivi, those that are not written, this are who were burned. Something I write Tana de Be'er Blazim and Yaakov afilu b'shasa sakona v'yishana odom es'atim min ha'rabana shalai. Even when a time is in danger, a person should not change his mode of clothing. If he dresses in an honorable way, like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were servants of the king, and they wore chashuva clothing, nice clothing, they did not remove it in the time of danger. They went into the fire wearing that clothing. What is the purpose of that? So the Rashi says, they were wearing their glorious clothing. Why? Shouldn't look confused and frightened. The fact that they can maintain their cool, so to speak. They're not ruffled. They act exactly in the same way, totally in control of themselves, causes their enemies to have a certain kind of embarrassment. Here are people facing death, and are facing it calmly and coolly without getting ruffled. It sends a little bit of a embarrassment to those who are trying to kill them. That's how Rashi learns. The Mashal learns that it shows that the Mekavah HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gzeira Ba'ava. It's like putting on their Shabbos clothing to go die. Because if this is what the Rabbi Shalom wants from us, we will do it with the same approach as we do anything else he wants from us. This is what we usually dress up to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Well, we will dress up to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will of accepting our death and not lose themselves, but to show that they're makabu with the simcha ba'ava. That's how the Mashal learns. That was different. That was to daven to show more to the ma'irit tefillah. Nothing to do with this.
It was not Mekana also?
Again. That was not Mordechai getting killed. That was Mordechai davening. It's a totally different picture. Yes.
Night and drag him away, he would always look good rather than
never heard it before, but Makes sense.
It was when he was rubbing it in Hassan. His a close friend of his in the neighboring town was hung in the middle of the night in his front yard. And Rev told his wife that if the people of town should see their rough hanging, they should see their rough dressed like a rough.
Shanema. Vadein Gavra Eloch. Vadein Gavra. Vadein means. And then, what does Vadein mean? Most of it, yeah. Vadein, what does it mean? Then? First word, last line. But then, Gavraya Ilech, these men, Kfisu, were tied, the Sarbaleim with their cloaks, Pacheyam, the Karbalaseyan, Luvisheyan, these are names of clothing, and they were thrown into the fire. Rashi, Pacheyam, the Karbalaseyam, and Yonim, Abushim, with different kinds of fancy clothing. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Gedalia, Tzadikim, Yaisim, and Malachi Asharis. Tzadikim are greater than Malachim, and the reason is because Tzadikim overcome a Yetzihar, and Malachim do not. That's why Tzadikim are greater than Malachi Asharis. But we're proving it from a pasuk. Shememar. Ono v'amar. Whoever came and told Nebuchadnezzar said, Ha'ano chazi guber narbo. I see four people. Shirayan, untied. Mahalkim begainura, walking in the fire. The chavola isa behind, and there's no wound in them. Revere the riva, and the look, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking, and the look of the fourth one, dama is similar Levar Elohim to a angel. Now the Gemara is going to explain later how Nebuchadnezzar knew how angels looked, but he had experience in knowing how angels look, and he said the fourth one looks like an angel. So Rashi says, "Maybe the fourth one. The first one looks like an angel. Why is he the fourth one?" Teretz says, "No, tzaddikim are greater than malachim, and therefore he's the fourth one." That is what Rashi learns. Other Mepharshim say that they were walking in an order, and the last one in the order was the Malach, which shows us that Tzadikim are greater than the Malachim. Rashi, Gzailim, Tzadikim, Yaitim, Malach, Asharis, the Varech, Shechasim, the Tzlesel, Tzadikim, first it lists the three Tzadikim, Umalach, Lebesayv, the Siva, Revoy, the Rivo, Adam, Levar, Lehin, and the fourth one looks like a Malach. That's the Gemara Vait. Amar Abtan, Chamar, Chani, Loi, Mishor, Shiyotzul, Chananya, Mishor, Vazaya, Bekim, Shenesh. When Chananya, Mishor, Vazaya came out of the furnace. The Umas Ha'ilim came and slapped Klal Yisrael on their face. Amrun, they said, you have a god like this, and you bow down to an idol? Klal Yisrael started and they said, Hashem, you are right, and we have total embarrassment today. The Meiyada says, why Alpneim? So he says, because the person's Averis are carved into his forehead, and therefore they came and hit him on their face and said, you have these Averis on your face, and you have such a God, and you do such Averis. Yes?
Would you say the Sfora, Rebbe, said that we have a Yetzirah, we overcome it? You still would say an angel's greater?
This is a theme that's repeated many times, that Tzadikim are bigger than Malachi Asharis, which they overcome.
But is that a nice Sfora, or is the Pusik Megala that? I don't know.
We learn it from Sukkim. We don't learn anything in Sfora, we learn it from Sukkim. But this is not the only Pusik that seems to indicate that. I said, many psukim indicate that tzaddikim are greater than Malachi Asharis. This is one of them. It's a theme that's repeated multiple times. And the svara behind it is because man has to overcome an evil inclination and malachim do not. Tzaddikim are man-made malachim. Yes. Yes, that's
clear from the whole creation of the universe. It's stated explicitly a number of times in numerous forms, but the reason why the universe was created was that there should be Adam, not be Adam.
Right, yes. Cutting my mind.
Who was
going to
say
the Kai Yisrael said, "L'chai Hashem etzakim v'lo nubayshus abonim." Because they were embarrassed. They served to tell him.
They served to tell
him. All Kai Yisrael served him besides three people.
So the Umos Ha'olam came enemies of
Bnei Yisrael. No. The Umas Ha'olam came, and Sinem Sheisrael means Klal Yisrael. I'm sorry. It's the way, we don't want to say that, like, this is the way the Gemara words Klal Yisrael. No, they came to Klal Yisrael. And it's called Sinan Chainsaw because we don't want to say bad about Klal Yisrael. I'm sorry. My mistake, yes.
And Rebbe said they served the idol. Would generally avoid this meaning they got down to the idol.
Yes.
They did not serve.
I meant that. So to give my advice. No, they did not bow down.
No, but they did not, I'm sorry, they were not in a situation that they had to bow down to an idol. They were not in a situation that they had to go into the world.
Okay. You're getting involved in whether it was a real Avodah Zarah or not.
Therefore, you're not comparing apples and oranges.
I am comparing apples and oranges because the Gemara is going to compare apples and oranges, and this is a kasha that Mepharshim have. Let's do a few more lines and we'll see. They have a question because the Gemara here treats it as an Avodah Zarah. In this sugya, it seems to indicate that we're dealing with a real Avodah Zarah. There's an anger on Klal Yisrael for giving in and serving it.
It might be they were serving an Avodah Zarah.
No, it's talking about this Tselem. It doesn't say any other Avodah Zarah. Again, this is the question that's asked. I am acknowledging your question that elsewhere it seems to say the Hananiah Mishael Azariah, it's a Tosfos really, that says it wasn't to be Avodah Zarah. And based, they ask from this Gemara, it seems to indicate that there was a Chi of Misa and Klal Yisrael for bowing down to it. This Gemara has its other problem is because the halacha is if somebody serves Avodah Zarah under duress, there's no Chi of Misa, according to the Rambam. So, granted, let's say it was Avodah Zarah, and they served it, but it was under duress. Question is, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to punish them? It was a bainus. Granted, they might should have given up their life, the Rizvash asks, but it was still bainus. Still not a punishment of death. So, let's do the Gemara first. We'll deal with it. The question is a good question. It's a question on Tisus, who seems to say that it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah, and they did not have to give up their lives rather than serve it. But it's, whatever it is, we're going to have to reconcile it with this Gemara that seems to say that there's a punishment of death hanging over all Klal Yisrael because they bowed down to this Tselem.
What makes something real about the Tselem versus a...
It was more of a statue, a figure of a Nebuchadnezzar, rather, as the Tosfos says, rather than accepting of a deity. I really think we're getting up there. Yeah, Tosfos explained that it was not a real deity. Nobody was expected to accept the Tselem as a deity.
That's when Haman has...
let's not mix stories. Mechanayim Shalom Azariah. I didn't say there is no real Avodah Zarah in the world. I said this wasn't a real Avodah Zarah. Haman is Haman. Hanayim Shalom Azariah is Hanayim Shalom Azariah. It's not the same history period. We're talking about years apart. This is years before that. Hanayim Mishav Azariah bowed down to a Tselem. Tosfos, a number of places in Shas, explains that it was not a real Avodah Zarah. It was a figure. It was not an acceptance of deity, but rather something that represented idol, and therefore they voluntarily were willing to give up their lives. They were allowed to give up their lives. They didn't have to. That's what Tosfos explains. So the question is, in this Gemara, it seems to indicate that it was idol. What happened by Haman is a different story. We can't mix apples and oranges, quoting Avi. Yes.
I thought they were both apples.
Yes.
That's not the point. I mean, I think part of it is that nobody here has a real concept of what a king is. I mean, we think of, you know, some guy in Japan or some judge or freak in England or something like that. It would be perfectly permissible if one were in the presence of a king, and that was protocol to bow to a king.
Yeah, we're allowed to bow to a human being as long as it's not an acceptance of deity. Yeah, but this wasn't bowing to the human being; it was bowing to a Tselem.
But even to the Tselem of a king, even to the representative of a king, it would be permissible.
Again, it's not. It's I don't want to go into Haman. I don't want to get in there. I just want to say the following. Even according to Tosfos that says it wasn't a real Avodah Zarah, but it definitely was allowed for them to give up their lives. Now the Rambam learned they're not allowed to give up their lives if it's not Avodah Zarah. So obviously it was close enough that even according to the Rambam they were able to allow to give up their lives. So it wasn't a regular nothing. It has to be somewhere in between, because if it's not, the Rambam says they're not allowed to give up their lives. Yes.
Well, as I recall, they went to Gedolei Ador, including Daniel, and asked Pasim, knowing the Pasim, that they had to do it completely on their own.
But it was legal. But it was obviously legal.
It was legal because it was something which came not all to love, but came something...
I don't know. It doesn't say that. That's your addition to what it says there. That doesn't say that in Titus.
That was even different.
I will go up the day tree. I will grab its branches. Am I right? Sansinov is branches. I thought I would be raised, so to speak, by the day tree. All of Klal Yisrael would be willing to give up their lives rather than serve the Selim. I was left with one branch, Chananya Mishael Vazariah. Again, the Pasuk indicating, this Chazal indicating that everybody else should have done the same as Chananya Mishael Vazariah. Rashi. Ani Amarti, Shekala Tamar Shalihu, that the whole day tree is mine. Sheyubem Tzadikim Harbet, there would be many righteous people. But I also be Yadi. The Trashi Yisrael Nimshul of the Tamar, because I mean that my Tamar is Ein Lev Echad. Tamar has one internal sack thing. So also Klai Yisrael is only to the Rabbi Nishlelem. Yes, I'm wrong.
They were forced in or walked in?
They were forced in. They were thrown in.
Thrown in, right? I mean, and the point is that other people should have been in line also and said, throw us in also.
Other people should have refused to bow down to the Tzelem and suffered the consequence. There was a Tzelem. Everybody was told to bow down to it. Everybody did besides three people. Amar Rabbi Yechida. My Dechsev, it says in the Pasuk, Re'isi Halayla, I saw the night. A man was riding on a red horse. This is a pasuk in Zechariah. He was standing between the myrtles, which is in the valley. What is this referring to? Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the whole world, turn the world into darkness. Why? Because they bow down to this Tzelem. What does the red horse symbolize? He wanted to turn the whole world into blood. When he looked at them, they saved the world. Standing between the myrtles in the valley, it says he was raising Hadassah, which is referring to Esther, that she was a tzedekah. So we see Hadassim referred to tzadikim. He said to the valley, I will dry out, in your rivers I will dry out, referring to Babel. So we see that there was a taina on Klal Yisrael, such a taina that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish all of the world. And Chananya Mishael Vazariah, by them going into the Tzelem, removed the Midas Hadin, removed his taina on Klal Yisrael. Now, this is the question, going back to Avi's question, this is the question. Tysus tells us in many places in Shas that it was not a real Avodah Zarah. Chananya Mishael Vazariah would have been within their legal bounds not to give up their lives. And here, the Gemara seems to say that there was a tying on Klai. Now, the Ravash asked the question, why is a Chai Misa? Even if it is Avodah Zarah, it's Ba'inat. Why a Chai Misa? So the Ravash answers they could have ran away. And their refusal to run away makes them into Mezid. He quotes a Rambam. The Rambam says that anybody who has a chance to run away from serving Avodah Zarah cannot be classified as Inus. Inus is only if there's no way out. If one can run away, then they're not Inus. They didn't attempt to run away. That's how the Ravash learns the story. But it doesn't answer the question, was it or wasn't it an Avodah Zarah? It's a good question. I don't have a good answer. This Gemara seems to indicate that it's being treated as an Avodah Zarah. Tysus in many places in Shas says it wasn't an Avodah Zarah. Tosfos says it because of a Gemara that says, had they tortured Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they would have bowed down. Tosfos asks, if it's Usher, it's Usher. What does that mean? If they would have tortured, they would have bowed down. Tosfos says, it wasn't really Usher. Therefore, under torture, they would have bowed down. That's how Tosfos explains that Gemara. This Gemara seems to say that Klal Yisrael is being subjected to a punishment of death because of their bowing down. And if not for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who gave up their lives, and they calmed down this einish that was going to be on Klal Yisrael. That is what this Gemara seems to be saying. I don't know how to reconcile with the fact that it wasn't to be all about Azariah. The question's a good one. I don't have a good answer.
He doesn't
ask the question?
What? No, he doesn't get into that.
He doesn't ask if Yechezkel tells him not to sacrifice, so why is there a taina?
He told them that the Rebbeinu would not protect them if they went inside the curtain.
Well, that doesn't mean they shouldn't do it.
No, but he told them not to do it.
They want to do a Kiddush Hashem.
He told them not to do it, so they got upset.
So then why is there a taina on them? He doesn't answer that? How does he learn this Gemara? If he brings the Medrash, shouldn't he say Pshat in this Gemara?
I'm just saying, but I'm questioning how they went against Psak of a Gugel.
How can I am sure Azariah went to Psak? Maybe they didn't ask.
Well, he told them, but they didn't ask.
No, but he told everybody else. Who asked?
It says Yecheskel told them not to sacrifice themselves.
Who told Chana Yem Shov Azariah?
Yeah.
Although I meant told them in the rest of Klal Yisrael. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Heskel was a Navi. It's more than just listening to Gadol. It's a Navi. I mean, it's in a greater... again, he didn't say it in the Nevuah. He didn't say it as a prophecy.
Maybe just told him that
the right. But still, the question is a good question. Especially, there's a tie on Klal Yisrael here. Klal Yisrael... sounds pretty serious. And if they had a psak not to do it, so why that Kadosh Baruch Hu want to punish them? Doesn't say that they were.
As I recall, the Medrash said that they went to the Neil and Yechezkel and they refused to pass him.
Well, he's reading a Medrash. I don't think he made it. As you would say, Rabbi Elias doesn't make him up.
Rabbi Elias is, yeah.
So, okay, so. He's not making it up.
Rabbi Elias
He's quoting. He's telling you where the Medrash is, no? Okay, so there.
Now, it doesn't say where
the Shear 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 I don't know. The question, I don't have a good answer. I mean, if the Medrash says that you got a psak, so why is there a tie on Klal Yisrael? Doesn't say anything? Doesn't bring a pshat? I mean, he's bringing the Medrash. Shouldn't he offer a pshat in the Gemara? Right, as I'm saying, this Gemara seems to make it sound that it was a real Avodah Zarah. I don't know. That's the Gemara Avodah. Miyad Malayim Regas, this is still part of the Pasuk that says, the Pasuk continues, the Achrav, and after this red horse, was Susim Adumim, which is red, and then it says Srukim, which is colored, not red, and then Levonim, white horses. So there seems to be a transformation from red to color to white. So the Pasuk explains, Miyad Malayim Reigas Nasim Sarukim, from the hands of the full of anger, it became colored, which means then Adumim Nasu Levadim, the red had turned into white, which means the anger was gone. Amar Papish Mamin Asusukayura Maila Lakoba, a white horse is good for a dream. Obviously white is a sign of Rachmim as opposed to red, which is a sign of din. Rashi, Tsurukim Tsvuim colored. Vakach Nas Lavanim Shinastaku but Sadikim Noch Mikasek got his rebel calmed down from his anger. Susuchi Yura Madul Khama but the Kamar Shaedam have a remes the klola. Red is a remes the klola, and it turns white. The Zariah, the white is a good sign.
The wrath was
appeased, removed. It says, so speak in the way Svarim speak, the Midas Adin turned into Midas Arachna.
And that was when, even before the Kivshan thing.
No, when Chanan Mishav Azariah went into the Kivshan. They took away the Midas Adin.
That isn't the Mila of theirs. The Mila of theirs is that they bow down.
Right, I'm sorry. They were willing to die and not bow down. That took away the Midas Adin.
I'm saying,
again, it's the willingness to die rather than to bow down that took that way to meet the Seder. Word it any way you want to, I think that's what it's saying.
Willing to die, is that wasn't...
Well, it's a degree of how much you don't want to do something. Right? I don't want to take out the garbage, but I can be persuaded to take out the garbage. It's the willingness to die rather than do something shows this stronger conviction than stop saying I don't want to do it. Nobody wanted to bow down to the Tzelem. Everybody else did it because they were under duress, and they didn't. And we also have to remember that the Gemara Megillah tells us that this is one of the two opinions of why the story of Purim came about. The Gemara asks, why were Klai Yisrael Nechayev to be destroyed? So that the Gemara gives two opinions. One was because they ate from the Achashverosh's party. The other one is because they bowed down to the Tzelem in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. So, this is a story that has impact. Years later, Klai Yisrael gets Gzeira L'Hashmid L'Harig L'Abed because of this bowing down to the Tzelem. So it's not like the story dissipates and goes away. Gemara Megillah says, according to one man the Amar, the reason Klai Yisrael, the days of Mordechai and Esther, were chayiv to be destroyed, it was Gzeira L'Hashmid L'Harig L'Abed, was because Shachmul Tzelem. They bowed down to this Tzelem. This is Machloikas. Two Mandi Amra. One Mandi Amra says, Shachmul Tzelem. So he asked them, so why is everybody, only the people, I'm sorry, one Mandi Amra says, they ate from the Suda. So he asked them, so only in Shushan, why everybody else? He said, they Shachmul Tzelem. So he asked them, so if that's so, why did they get saved? The answer is, they didn't mean it. They just did it. Lepanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Gzeira and didn't carry it out. That's the Gemara Megillah. So there is this story of the Tzelem does remain later on. It's not like Chanan Mishav Azariah don't bow down and it's all forgiven and forgotten and everybody can, you know, say goodbye and forget it. It remains in history. This causes, according to one opinion, two opinions, according to one of the two opinions, this is the reason behind the Gzeira of Haman, the reason the Rabbeinu Shlalem institutes the Gzeira of Haman is because of the story of the Tzelem. So it's not like, so again, if it's not real Avodah Zarah, we have to ask the question, why are they being punished? So anyway, that crisis has to be reconciled with many Gemaras. And your Medrash, Yecheskel tells them to bow down, then why are they being punished for it? Again, I'm just pointing out, I'm not offering a solution. I'm pointing out that the difficulties are not so simple here. That's the Gemara Vayit. Rabbanon Lehei Chazlu. You know, we never meet Chananya, Mishael, Azariah anymore. End of story, they're not mentioned anymore. What happened to them? Where are they? They disappear from our sight. I'm a rabbi in Haramason. Rab says they died immediately afterwards. Because everybody walked around looking at them. Wow, those people, the survivors of the Kibshan age. Those people. And they died by Ayin Hara. So Trashi, the Rabbanon Heka Azli, Shiatsum and Akibshan, the Sula, Mitzilu, the Kuluk Suva, they're never mentioned anymore. By Ayin Hara, Meisu, Shem, Estaklum, Behem, Asher, Itzmeim, Behem. They looked at them. Everybody was like amazed by them. They survived the furnace, and that Ayin Hara got them killed. Shmuel Amar Beroik Tavu. No, Ayin Hara doesn't mean a curse. Ayin Hara means an evil eye. People look at it in an evil way and saying, wow, these are unbelievable people. You know, it has a negative impact. We don't want to be noticed by people and talked about by people and people look at us in
a... Nobody says anything negative?
Doesn't say anybody says anything. It's called Ayin Hara. Don't worry about it. The Gemara says, if you're not worried about it, it won't bother you. You're much better off that way.
That's where red thing around.
People make a living on this Ayin Hara business. Again, I'm not belittling you're talking about it. I'm not getting involved in it. Just the less you worry about it, the healthier everybody is.
That's how
it works. There's such a thing called an Ayin Hara that can affect people. It does exist. And the more people worry about it, the more it exists. Yes.
What's the basis for something negative?
The assumption is that they're not mentioned. That means they die shortly afterwards. Because they're not mentioned.
Well, nothing of significance, but this happens to them again. Why is
that? Yeah, because there are stories that come up that they should have been there. And they're not mentioned. So they're not there. Question is, where are they? So Rav and Shmuel say they're not around. The third man, the Amar, who is the Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan, says they moved out of country. Everybody's in agreement that they're not on location. They're not on site.
I mean, Yisro disappears from mention, but we don't assume there's something bad.
No, the difference is there are stories that call for mysterious nefesh, reaction. If they're there, they would have been involved. They're obviously not there. Where are they? Shmuel Amar Bereif Tavu. Shmuel says that the guy spit at Klal Yisrael. How you could bow down to a tzelem and they drowned in the spit. Meaning basically, Rashi learns literally. That the guy spit at the Yidden Shemim L'Kaikaseh Yeshlechem. You have a god like this. Yishtachavisim L'Tzelem. They died in the spit. That's how Rashi takes it on a literal basis, that they died on the tzit, with the spit. I believe the Mashah here says that it was the busha involved, that it's a mashah, he says. The pshat is the embarrassment of Klal Yisrael caused that they should die, because when they walked around, all Yidden walked around embarrassed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them away, so they shouldn't be a cause of embarrassment to every Yid that sees them. Every Yid, when they saw Hananiah Mishael Vazari, hid his face in shame. I could have been a Hananiah Mishael Vazari, and I wasn't. And therefore, the Rabbani Shalom did a favor to Klal Yisrael. They shouldn't have to live their life under shame, and they died. That's how the Mashal explains it.
Wow, that's tough.
I mean, what am I supposed to say? I just said over my child. I don't know. I hear your problem with it, but that's what it says. The Yechon and Amar Olu Le'etzishol. They went up to Etzishol. The Nasu Nashim. They married women. But Lidu Banam Ubanus, and they had children. Shadam Ashmano Yeshua Kain Gadol. There's a story later on with Yeshua Kain Gadol. Atav Reecha Yishum Lefenecha. You and your friends who are sitting in front of you. Ki Anshe Meifas Hema. They are people of miracles. Ezem Anashim Shenasim Meifas. Who are these people of miracles? Rashi, Al-Machazu La'aretz Eitz Yeshua Kain Gadol. They went back there to Yisrael, be near Yeshua Kain Gadol. So they're not on site, and since they're not on site, therefore they're not involved anymore in the Pesukim. They left, they went somewhere else. Tell the Gemara about it. Daniel Lahechon Azo. Where is Daniel? Oh, Kitanoi, I'm sorry, I skipped. Kitanoi. Samachlaikis Tanoi. We have it from Amoroim, and we have a bride that makes this a Machlekes Tanoim. It means each Amoro said something that we found later on in a Tana. So it is a repetition, but it's a bride. Rav Azrei Mabayin Harameizu, Shuwan Mabareng Tavu, Chamim Aymerim, Olu Vana, I'm sorry, I skipped. Olu Vana, Eretz Yisrael Vanasu, Nasu Vili, the Vana Mabana, Shnem Shmano, Yeshua Kain Agadu, Atzim Varecha, Yeshmu Lefanecha, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you, Ki Anshe Maifas Hema, but they are people of miracles. Ezeim Rashi Mishnah Asma Ma'ivus Avem Zechanayim Mishav Azay. Fracting Gemara. The Daniel Lahechon Azo. Where is Daniel? Where is Daniel throughout this whole thing? I mean, he was there, and he's not mentioned in the story of the Tzelem. Zabzik Gemara. He was not on location. Again, the assumption is if they're not mentioned, they're not there. Daniel is not bowing down to the Tzelem. And if he's not bowing down to the Tzelem, why isn't he being thrown into the furnace? Obviously, he's not on site. He's not there. Where was he? Vahechanazo. That the Gemara Amarav Lamichra Nara Rabba Betveria. He went to there to divert, I think it is, the river near Tveria. How does he learn Lamichra? To dig around the river of Tveria. Rashi? He wasn't thrown with them. The Mikra and I are Rabbi Mitzvaria. I hear what you said. Shovel ready. Lachbar Lahitzi no Rabbi Mitzvaria to dig and bring out a river in Tveria. Lishnachrina Summer Gairus, the Mikra and I are Batura to dig a river in a mountain Bahar. Shmuel Omer Lasuya Bizra da Safsata. Shmuel said he went to get animal food. Nebuchadnezzar sent him on a mission to get animal food for animals of Nebuchadnezzar. So he was on a mission. He wasn't there. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lasri Chazera de Laksandri Shemitzrayim. He went to bring pigs, to raise pigs in Babel, Alexandrian pigs. Rashi. Lasri Yabezu da Sabstad Lahobi Zera Shal Esav seed of grass Yumachu Behema. Now Rashi says, they had a Messiah. No way in the Pesukim that you see this. They had a Messiah. Each one had from his Rebbe that this is where Daniel was. To raise him to have children. The Egyptian pigs are big. So you want to have Egyptian pigs so they can produce big kids. Make good for the pig business. That's the Gemara Vayter. It's not that way. But we learn two desuraifaimer. It's a question if an animal has its womb removed, whether it's treif or not. And Dr. Tudus told them that every cow in the chazer that's allowed out of Mitzrayim has its womb removed. And they live. It's a raya that it's not a treifa. But we see clearly that the Egyptians did not let their animal be exported in order to maintain a monopoly on the sale of their animals. So how could Daniel get it out? So the Gemara Zutri Aisa Beloi Datayu. He took the small ones, and nobody takes small ones to raise. So they figured if he's buying small ones, he's obviously not interested in raising them. And he really was taking small ones to make them bigger so they could have children. So he basically circumvented, got around their ban. Rashi? Said that if the womb is taken, it's treifa. They didn't want it anywhere else. They lived. And they did not think that he needed for periv. And they let him take it out without taking out the womb. Right, so I just was looking to see who asked that question, because that question is asked. Okay, he was the ruler, so why did he have to care? Right, this is the Ben Yehuda's question, and Terence says Nebuchadnezzar wanted to play by the rules. See, he didn't want to exercise executive power, so he told Daniel, "Get him out of Mitzrayim without me having to." These Mitzrayim are very sensitive about their pigs being taken away. I don't want a revolution in Egypt, so just do me a favor, get it done without toppling the apple cart. That's how the Ben Yehuda explained it.
I think
that Daniel revealed
that he didn't want people
to find out that Daniel was. That's what he called Ben Yehuda for that? Maybe I have it written down wrong.
He wanted Daniel to me. Whatever
you want, you have to look at the engineer, Daniel's absence. Yeah, that's going to be next Gemara. The Chanetz made sure he wasn't there. So, could be that that's here. So maybe I misquoted the Ben Yod. I thought it was because he didn't want to topple the Egyptian apple cart. Getting, just get it out. But you're right. That's a good Heretz. Heretz says he didn't want everybody to know where Daniel was, so he made up a mission for him. Basically, made up something that wasn't necessary to do, just to get Daniel out of here.
Just say why
Daniel
of all people?
Yeah, the Gemara says why in a minute.
Why
is that's how this story of Tudus Haraifei is brought in context of Halacha. Rabbanim wanted to paskin that any animal missing a womb is a treifa, which means if you shecht it, you can't eat the meat. So Tudus proved them wrong. He said in Egypt they do it all the time and the animal survives, which means it's not a treifa. So he's using that as a basis of halacha. Now what we're using that is that they didn't let animals out unless they took out the womb, which is how could they take the Chazayim out of Mitzrayim? The Egyptians wouldn't let them out. That's what we're borrowing Tudus, who's talking in the Chulin on Ilu Treifas, over here to prove a point.
It's the Matthias.
Ah, yeah, yes.
Although, just because something doesn't go within a year doesn't mean it's not a treifa.
Again, when there's a suffering treifa, we rely on the fact that it survives and doesn't get weaker.
It's more
fun. Again, but the Gemara says by suffering treifa, we rely on it. But something my bite. Turn about bottom. Shloisha bites Asa. Three agreed to this idea that the Zaniel disappear when the story of the Tselem happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rabbani Shlom didn't want him there. Daniel didn't want to be there, and the Khaneja didn't want him there. For different reasons. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Nezu Daniel Mahacha. It'd be a good idea if Daniel was gone. If Daniel was thrown into the fire with the other three, they'll say it was Daniel's chus. It would belittle the other three. So for the sake of the other three who are willing to die on Kiddush Hashem, I will have Daniel gone from here, let them get their due respect for what they're doing, and that they're being saved for their own Mesiris Nefesh. That is why the Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted them away. And Daniel... Daniel Amar Ezum Mahach, I better get out of here. L'lekayim b'psilo l'hem tisim from Beish. What happened is Daniel was bowed down to by Nebuchadnezzar. He was made into an idol by Nebuchadnezzar. So therefore, he was afraid that if he gets thrown into the fire, he will be consumed in fire because he's an idol. Not that he wants to be an idol, but he is an idol. People, Nebuchadnezzar bows down to him. Therefore, he said, I better get out of here because the nays for me will be much more difficult. Because the Pasuk says, burn idols in fire. And I'm an idol. So I don't want to be in fire. Not a good idea. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm a Yezu, Daniel Mahaka. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted Daniel out of here. The lame people shouldn't say, Kayil Allah Benura, that he burned his own gods in fire. It wouldn't look good for Nebuchadnezzar to burn Daniel. Minai the Sagit lay, how do I know Daniel was bowed down to by Nebuchadnezzar? To say, Badein, then, Malka Nebuchadnezzar, Nafala, and Pai fell on his face, will Daniel Sagit and bowed down to Daniel? Because I guess he respected him as a sort of a deity.
Not the other one,
and this is before. He had bowed down to Daniel earlier. So therefore, if Daniel gets thrown into the fire, Daniel's afraid he might not be able to be saved. Not, he's not being blamed for being an idol. It's not his fault. He has no idea. No, you know. Rashi. And that's just, I have no idea. I don't know if Zechariah was alive at that time. I think Zechariah was later. He's recounting the story. Oh, that's a different Zechariah. There's two Zechariahs.
Is that a locker for people to a man and that man is a Avodah Zarah?
No, but you know, you don't want to be tested in fire after a guy is an Avodah Zarah. Since the Pasuk does say idols should be burned in fire, it's not a good idea for a person who is used as an idol to be in fire. He figured, I'd be better off if I don't test myself. I need extra schusim because I do have that strike against me. Again, it's not his fault. He's not being blamed for it. But at Lamaisa, he is an idol.
He should be punished for it. In other words,
it's not a punishment. It's a reality.
That they would burn, someone would burn him because he was worthy.
No. He would be burned because he didn't bow down to the Tselem. To have a nace to save him would be much harder because he is an act, because he's an idol. The nace necessary would need more schusim because he's in a situation where he's an idol. Not a punishment, a reality.
Fashion. Is there a TV show about this?
A what?
A TV show.
Can't hear you.
A TV show, you know, called like American Idol or something.
Rashi. Rashi. Eitz Shalach Hashem Daniel the kind be b'sil lohem tisvim meishin of chanetz asa l'ayim l'chanetz they made him a god to the sil l'neil sagim v'amad l'ki b'sil lohem, he's like a god shamik razay yitzavach alohem l'sarfam, the Torah says burn your god l'chanetz misyare, he was afraid to be in fire. No, keep me out of fire. Fire and me don't get along well because of the fact that if I have to bow down to me, we'll continue my discussion tomorrow.
from the old